are, but we'll go ahead and get started in the interest of time.
Hello, Mark. I was wondering if you were going to be here. Last time I looked up, you weren't. Oh, boom. Welcome. How'd the conference go?
It was good.
I left a little early. I had to get back for some work stuff. But coach a soccer game.
Very important stuff. Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. First, before we get into the agenda, I heard back from Kelly from the DEC. Next meeting, the 30th, they will be in attendance. They will be Kelly, John Petronella, and the other gentleman was the one we keep saying his name, and I apologize, Dave Pollack. Those three will attend next Thursday at 9:30. I'm going to plan the entire meeting for them, and if we, you know, if they get done before an hour and a half, we can pick up some other stuff. But they confirmed with me yesterday, and so that's great news that the three of them will be in attendance here next week.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yeah.
Do we want to just all individually bring our questions, or would it be helpful to circulate among the group sort of some of the thoughts and questions in advance so we're not sort of free-flowing overlapping ideas?
I'm fine with either way. For me, I kind of need to hear from them before I know what my questions are.
Okay.
But that's just me. I don't. How do other people feel on that?
I like having some topic, you know, like specific areas that we want to make sure that we discuss.
Okay. Well, if people want to do that and get that to Liz, and then we can just sort of all be working from the same. I think we can just run a cumulative you know, and if there's any overlapping, we can group them together. Because I'll be honest, I think I understand the process having read it, but hearing from them is going to probably lead to more questions in my mind.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Is this about the local solid waste plan?
Or? No, it's about what we had talked about is what it would, the state's process to site a landfill.
The state's process to?
To site a landfill.
Oh,
so okay. Have to hear from them as to, because people throw out time frames sort of randomly of, oh, it'll take 10 years, oh, it'll take this many years.
It's not random. And the, well, and yeah. The viability. I mean, people actually say it's not even possible. So
right.
In three. So we need to talk about that.
Yeah, and I think maybe we can flesh that out, because in my mind it's, you know, in reviewing some of the state's solid waste management plan, Beyond Waste, you know, it's where are they standing on export of solid waste from the state and long term, and what are the, you know, what specifically beyond, we can all say that we want to reduce the input, right, the amount of solid waste generated, and also increase diversion, but that seems to kind of be a little incongruous with the reality of our current economic and kind of way of living, in which there's a lot of solid waste. You know, so like, what are they doing about it, other than saying philosophically what they think?
Yeah, and I think also following on that would be, you know, a discussion and recognition of available capacity within the state that's available. I mean, we, you know, when you think about capacity within the state, it's really divided into two tranches. One is committed capacity that's dedicated to, for example, Oneida Herkimer. It's for Oneida and Herkimer, so that's capacity, but not for anyone else. So that the capacity I'm interested in is the remaining capacity in relation to that commitment, you know, and within Beyond Waste toward not exporting, and sort of this idea of long-term sustainability when we know all of downstate is currently exporting. So I mean, I think it's a difficult conversation, but I think it's one that's critical that we actually have with them in order to support the reasoning behind what we're going to potentially say in this report.
And
go ahead.
In terms of export, I think they need to balance the need to deal with New York City's waste with the impacts of export on the climate, the transportation. Rail is very different than trucking, but anyway, that's just, I want to see climate change dealt with in all decisions.
Yeah, Mark.
One thing that I've discovered both while I was at the conference and just research is that many of the counties that have flow control laws and a landfill in their flow control prohibit taking waste from outside counties. So that may be something that this commission would want to look at as a recommendation to as we push forward. Would be, you know, if we're going to set a landfill potentially. Now, maybe it's leaving it slightly open to our neighboring counties like Sullivan County or something like that. But
yeah, I mean, that's something we can talk about that, and we should. I'm glad you brought it up just to flag it for us. I can tell you right now, I have a hard, fast, absolutely firm opinion on that, and that is absolutely no import if we have a in-county or in-region landfill. That's exactly the disaster that happened in Sullivan. That was the problem from the start to the finish of why they failed. And that's also, this isn't about profit. It's about longevity and sustainability. It's about creating, it's about self-reliance. So I feel very firmly that any landfill that we site would be limited to the partners with either us alone, if it's in Ulster County, it's an Ulster County land, and we're on it on our own, or if we are in some kind of regional partnership, to that regional partnership, and that's it. Because again, we're talking about minimizing the footprint of the landfill and maximizing its life. So it's not even something I want to consider. It's not about considering, like for me, I don't know where everyone else is on the table, but for me, we need to learn from lessons that other places have already made the mistake in. So.
Thank you. I agree. The landfills, when they were open, were like the golden goose. And, you know, it was like, look at all this money that we're bringing into the county. And what happened is the landfills actually closed prematurely because they had reached capacity. The only thing with even having other counties in a partnership, when we had countywide landfills open, there's ways around that. Westchester materials were coming into Lamella onto their transfer station floor, which is fine, they're just transferring it, but then they transfer it to the New Paltz landfill. That landfill at one time, when the county first took it over, was whole. And now it's a big mound, so it's tricky to regulate, you know. So there'd have to be additional considerations in there that it can't be transferred in from other counties and then ultimately deposited in, you know, our landfill.
Yeah,
I agree. It has to speak to the source, the generation location.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with Tracy's position here, and I just want to note that the existing contract right now ostensibly bars waste from other counties. It has not actually worked that way because we have seen organics come in from other counties in large volume.
Can I just add?
It's
not waste.
Organics is MSW, but it's
recycled.
We bring in other waste from, you know, if the waste energy plant is down in Dutchess, the haulers who also are licensed here will at times bring over,
which is not allowed under the contract.
That happened to the extent that when their facility was down, we gained maybe tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue. Mm-hmm. So that's you know, we had a bump in our finances because we broke the law. So I'm not defending it, but that's kind of what, you know.
Yeah, I apologize. I wasn't intending to go down this road right now yet. I mean, we can if you want to, but I was more just giving the information that the DEC is coming next week.
It's important.
It is.
No, it is. It is. And I just want to, if we're going down, then that's fine. I just wanted to be you know, mindful of everything else. So
maybe if there is a bar to import, there should be an exception in an emergency.
Well, and I also view it as a difference if it's going to a landfill in the county, which is specifically designed, versus it's being transferred. Now, you took in money, but you also spent money. I'm sure there was a profit involved. And only your accountant would really know whether there was what you spent versus what you took in. If it was a wash, then kind of you were nice guys and took it in. But.
Well, one other thing, point I'd like to make is all of this goes back to enforcement. If we're going to have this in the contract, you know, our enforcement mechanisms now are clearly inadequate, and we would have to think of a way, how are we going to enforce such a prohibition?
Yeah.
And that would cost more money.
Mama.
I know you want to move on.
No, I'm just trying to pull the conversation to one direction, not because I feel like it's gone very scattershot here.
A point I want to make about landfilling is that 30 years ago we convened a committee to create a host community benefit, but it was a very diverse committee to, I think it was called the Citizen Advisory Committee, to advise the agency, and it had the League of Women Voters, and you know, it was more than what we're looking at for the board. It was many more sectors were represented, and this was during the landfill siting process, and unfortunately, Charlie Shaw made what I consider to be a mistake. And disbanded the committee. Once they came up with the host community benefit recommendation, he said, your job is done, go. That committee, had it continued, I believe we could have sited a landfill in Ulster County because it was diverse and people were working together very well. I think the point I want to make is we talk about 5 years minimum, 10 years to site a landfill. I would like us not only to use a really science-based and judicious process, but to model the communication skill necessary to site a landfill. And that's missing in so much of what we do. And I believe we could do it in 5 years. We could do it before Seneca Meadow closes if we use good communication skills with the public, with the potential communities, with the legislature, et cetera, whoever, executive branch, and certainly the agencies, but all the stakeholders. I think the main reason it takes so long is how bitterly it's fought. Mm-hmm. And if we emphasize all the waste diversion that deals with odors and traffic and so forth. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just want to raise up what you're saying because I feel like I know it intuitively and from what we've lived through in the legislature, but I think even in these conversations, it somehow falls to the back. You know, I actually think you just said maybe the most important thing in terms of this report in relation to siting a landfill, just it is entirely about changing the messaging and communicating it in a way that that will ultimately gain acceptance. I mean, years ago, probably, I may be misspeaking, so stop me if I am, but certainly if not you, other environmentalists were on the front lines of trying to stop a local landfill, and everything has changed in terms of what it means environmentally to have a local landfill for residual waste, not a giant pile of garbage surrounded by flocks of birds you know, stinking to, you know, the highest eons of the earth. Like, that is not what, that's not what a landfill is anymore. It's not what it can be. Just even the fact that the agency is referred to as, both in papers and in common vernacular, as the trash agency, transfer stations are referred to as dumps. You know, it's like, we need to actually get people to understand how important this is to our sustainability as a county and the environment. And I think, Mana, what you just said has to sort of drive everything we're doing in this report, in this short report. we have to remember that at every step. So thank you for reminding
me. And the sad reality is there's going to be a large part of the population that just don't care. I mean, I know that's hard to believe because all of us here care so passionately, but there's going to be a large chunk of the population who, when they put their garbage out at the curb or they take it to their transfer station, they don't want to think about what's going to happen to it. It is changing the mentality, and it's really going to be the people that understand. I you bring up a really good point about the environmentalists, because I think one time in the meetings here I compared it to the old Staten Island, you know, Fresh Meadows with the piles and the birds flying around. And you're right, that's not a landfill anymore. But to many people, that's the memory that they, visual image they have of a landfill. So, yeah, Mark?
And I think the messaging has to start with, right now, we are trucking our waste, right, 1.8 million miles, road miles away. Every day, 6 days a week, we're sending roughly 15, 39-ton trucks, 256 miles one way, 256 miles the rest. I mean, we could site a landfill where that was 100 or less round trip, right? So you're taking those miles off the road, and it's a message that also is like, this is our county's opportunity to go off the grid and not rely and be resilient and not rely on outside.
And I think for some people, the finance message has to be made, the savings, because that's all some people are going to understand. Because the way it can be sort of said is, it's going to cost less money for the county to do this, and that alone will change some people's minds.
Oneida Herkimer charges $60 for a tipping fee, right? And because they don't have to spend 55% of their budget on transportation and disposal. They charge some $115.
Yeah, and Oneida Herkimer is also like a full service outlet that has basically everything we're talking, regular household hazardous, regular heavy plastics, regular compost, regular, I mean, they've got a lot. But the other thing that I think is critical, and I'm not sure how to message it without sounding doomsday, but it is doomsday, really. And you know, when you talk about financial savings compared to Oneida Herkimer, you're talking about a kind of apples to apples, you know, extrapolated in a current moment. What's really about to happen is unforeseen, radically high expenses. The people who don't care are going to care when their waste costs quadruple, when we have nowhere to take it and we have to go even further out of state, or when capacity is gone in 20 years, and now we're looking to Pennsylvania, who won't take us, or to Ohio, or to, like, these things are really on the horizon, really, in our lifetime, if we do nothing. So the problem is, people don't think that far ahead. They don't care. They don't care until it's like, until the bill shows up at their door, right? So I think we have to find some way to also articulate the urgency of this moment, of the fact that, you know, we've exhausted all the opportunities for delay. For me, it's 20 years in this conversation, the same Groundhog's Day conversation, the same exact conversation. For others at this table, it's even longer. So it's over. Like, we're at the finish line of facing that at in the private sector. And honestly, the people who are going to feel that pang are the supervisors.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, I mean, they're the ones who are going to hear about how expensive everything is. You know, the haulers are going to hear it, but there's going to be nothing else. Like, we have to articulate that too in a way that, I don't know, somehow moderates like the real current financial and current environmental, and also the fact that like the clocks run out.
Yeah, I think the message though too has to be recruit, you know, other groups need to be recruited to help spread the message, because sadly the political nature we're in, there's a lot of distrust of government. So if it's only the county legislature or the town municipal governments that are trying to spread this message, there'll be a fair amount of people who just turn off and don't hear it because it's, oh, it's government, they're lying to us again. And the political climate is so different now than it was even 5 years ago, and the rhetoric involved. So community organizations, the Chamber of Commerce, I mean, that's really important to schools to get them to help spread the message, because otherwise there's just, it's going to fall on deaf ears.
I think we should actually plan a rollout once we have the document that includes and Mark, maybe you could go back and see who was on the community advisory group, what organizations. But including the League of Women Voters has always been engaged, and they're very trusted.
Mm-hmm.
The chamber, et cetera, and do a rollout where we send the document ahead of time, and then have a presentation and take comments and ask their help in whatever conclusions we come to support them.
Yeah.
When Mark rattled off his statistics, it to me immediately spoke to Infographic. And I think, you know, I'll take those numbers and see if Daphne can make one for us. I also think, you know, when Tracy was talking about the exponential costs that we're going to see, we're talking about a hockey stick type of graph. And
yeah,
creating something like that, and not saying we're locked into these images, but just these are the kinds of communications we need to come out of not just our report, but every effort. So I think we should be making a recommendation that when consultants are hired to take on the work that is going to happen going forward, because we know there's going to be third-party work, there has to be a communications element to mm-hmm. each of those contracts where people are really looking at the language and really looking at how we talk about it. And I think we in our report should suggest that, you know, everyone sort of drop the word dump and everyone drop the word trash agency, that we're making strong recommendations on new language at this point going forward.
And Amanda, whenever you can get me, I know you're still tweaking, but whenever, even if it's a placeholder for now, that will help build out the report. So let me catch Jim.
I'm just going to say that's why the term materials management is something I'm trying to use as much as possible, because it sort of modernizes what we're doing.
Yeah, and I, at the town level, every time somebody uses the word dump, I immediately correct them to transfer station, even still now, and a lot of that. And a lot of places do, but Amanda, did you have something?
I was just going to say that I think, you know, even for something as kind of discreet and kind of little as the single-use bag ban in Ulster County, we hired a science-based marketing firm. We had a whole communication strategy. We had an outreach effort. You know, this is, it's pretty profound, you know, I would say, that of the reframing of the issue, but not one that I don't think in some ways that people aren't primed for. Like, you know, having some root metaphors around, you know, self-reliance and, you know, both economically, environmentally, et cetera. I think it all can be captured in that, but like, hire professionals, like 100%.
So a question for the group, because we kind of really jumped ahead to the report. Do we want to continue this conversation? Do we want to go back to the board, which I did do some research and Liz has, I shared it. Did you make copies for everybody or just for Tracy? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Is there one that I can grab to? Then it's easier to work from.
You can take one.
Yeah, it's easier than trying to work
from
the. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, with that, before we do that, why don't we handle the minutes? So the May 17th, excuse me, I had a couple of questions on. Yeah, so if we can hold off on the 17th.
We just got them.
Yeah, can we do the 10th? Are people okay with
that? I haven't looked at it.
Okay, we'll hold off till the next meeting on both of those then.
Can I just ask a question in relation to the minutes? I missed a meeting and I had sent over a timeline on budget. Did you guys talk about it? Not discussed. Okay.
We didn't discuss it. It was included in that.
Fine.
Folder, but we did not. Yeah, we did not discuss it at all.
It doesn't work.
So, with that being said, then moving on.
Before we move on,
yeah,
I just want to specifically, as we're talking about who to message to get support. You're the liaison with the town supervisors.
Not anymore.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
As from this committee, I am, but I'm no longer on the supervisors association because I'm no longer the supervisor.
When it gets closer,
yeah.
Maybe
I can still
ask Rich
absolutely.
If he can be on the agenda.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. That I can absolutely do. I mean, I'm still communicating with Rich fairly regularly, but
It might also be good at some point because of that shift to bring Rich in here. Rich has an extensive history of knowledge in terms of I just mean before the end of this, just
mm-hmm.
again looping a sitting member, not just the now chair, because he chaired the Environment Committee for years.
Yeah.
And he was here when flow control passed, so
mm-hmm.
I do think just giving him a sort of advance and engaging him in the
yeah.
conversation would be helpful too.
Yeah, I mean the reason I stayed on is were twofold. One is that A, we were 5 months into it, and B, the legislation was written that the members continued.
That,
so,
I
yeah.
say that not in any
yeah.
question.
Okay.
In terms of your
yeah.
keeping
yeah.
the seat, but just in terms of engaging.
Oh yeah,
in,
no,
for
absolutely.
The reasons that Manna said
yeah.
in terms of this rollout
yeah. Yeah.
and Rich now being in that seat,
yeah.
But also it being Rich who has a history
right.
who actually would be worthy of engaging.
The only thing I want to just keep in mind is we have one more month to finish this, and. If we engage a lot of other stakeholders in the creation of the report, we're going to run out of time.
I was thinking
yeah.
more, not so much in the creation, more as
in the rollout of the. Okay, I misunderstood. Sorry. So, did you have something else, Manny, you wanted to
no,
add?
No, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to make that
point. Yeah. No, it's a very, very good point. Absolutely. Do we want to continue talking about the draft report? Do we want to take a moment and look at the spreadsheet that I created, which is basically just a compilation of what I found out on the internet? Why don't we do that? Because this may wrap up sort of the board conversation. So how I arrived at this is I went to the state enabling law and all the miscellaneous public agencies that were created are the resource recovery ones. There were two that I discovered that the law is still on the books, but they are no longer operational, so I didn't include them. The Onondaga one actually had two different variations. I think I found the more recent one, because one is called the Resource Recovery Agency, and the other had a very long name. The Resource Recovery Agency seems to be the most recent. So the first two pages are those. And then what I did is I started just randomly Google searching and finding counties that are departments. And what I was searching for was their their waste management plans. And if you dig deep into their waste management plans, you can find out kind of how they operate, how many locations there are, how many communities. It was just something that came out of the first search that I found, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. It's by no means complete. I actually had just found Washington County, and then I got a phone call and ran out of time, but I wanted to get this to people yesterday. So I plan to continue the last page looking at other agencies. But the first groups are the ones that are actually public benefit corporations or agencies. So
my question, they all, you know, I see the one that's town board, ex officio, the rest say citizen board. Do you know if the rest of these boards are prohibited from having legislators or electeds, or they just happen not to have electeds?
What I did is I don't know. What I did is I took the language of the law, and that's what this is the, as to the makeup of the board.
Legislation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the enabling legislation state. From the state.
And what do you mean it said citizen board?
Well, the citizen board was my terminology. The two that are town board, those are both towns, and the members that make it up are the sitting town board.
But in the state enabling, did you see prohibitions on electeds?
Wherever that was, I put it in the requirements category. So I don't believe in any of them there was a prohibition of electeds.
Because I recall Oneida Herkimer, they don't currently have sitting electeds, but I thought I recalled at some point sitting electeds.
I would have to do a deeper dive into the whole law.
Where's the requirements? I don't.
To the right.
The last column.
And it could be a bylaws issue for each
it could
agency.
Be.
That
it
you
could
bylaws
be.
Bylaws I'm not so concerned about because that's internal regulation, state enabling.
But what this is the all the enabling laws that the state legislature has adopted are listed here. And the appointments are specifically the members that are appointed by the state legislation. You know, the categories. And then the confirmation, some require confirmation, some do not require confirmation by the legislature, some are just strictly appointments. So this is just, you know, to answer your specific question, Tracy, I don't know, because unless it was specifically in that enabling legislation.
It wasn't in that enabling,
yeah.
It's not right.
But I freely admit, I just looked at sections of the legislation. I didn't look at the entire legislation. I only looked at who the members were and stopped there.
Did you find that legislation in one space, or did you in each time look up the legislation?
So I went to the New York State laws, mm-hmm. public benefit, and I clicked on the one that's miscellaneous, which is what I discovered where all the solid waste are. And there's a bunch of different ones, and I went to each law individually and read what the law said, and this is a synopsis of what the law says.
Okay, great. Because I do think it would be...
I mean, it really didn't take that long. It's fairly easy to do because they're all in one place. It's just a matter of opening one link, closing it, opening the next link, opening the next link.
Okay.
And you have to sort your way through because there's other public benefit organizations for airports and things that are all mixed in with the solid waste, but the solid waste ones are clear because the name says solid waste or resource recovery. So
I do think that we should capture that just because if we are going to be making any recommendation that mm-hmm. states that we would want to change our enabling to allow for electeds, and I'm not presuming that's where we're going, but if we do, it would be very powerful to say not a single one in the state.
I did not see one, but I'm not confident in saying that they don't exist. I hate to sound like an attorney, but I mean, I can send everybody the link, and I'll do a deeper dive now that I know that specific question, and I'll see if there's anywhere in there that I can find that.
You might just call the ABO. Sorry, I just want to have that.
Yeah.
Call the ABO.
I'm sorry, I don't know who ABO is.
What is
Authorities
that?
Budget Office.
Right.
And actually, we can just look on their website to find everything that has the word solid waste in it, I think.
On whose website?
The authority's budget office collects from every public benefit corporation a certain amount of reporting every year. It does not have enabling legislation, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, I figured starting with the enabling, you know, I like to go to the beginning when I'm researching something, and the enabling legislation is usually the rule about how it's everything. So, yeah, Mama.
I woke up this morning with an idea that I want to share that's relevant, and that is if we do make changes, or proposed changes for the board, it's going to have to go through the state legislature, and that's a very slow, tedious process. I was wondering if there was a way that that ex officio members could participate but not vote, that they could be appointed by the various entities that will be doing appointing and participate but not not be called board members and not vote, but increase the communication with the various sectors.
My legal thought on that is if they're actually called ex officio members, is it still would have to go through the state.
Right.
That's my legal thought. I mean, but certainly that doesn't stop anybody from participating.
Well,
but
somewhere in between, I use the term ex officio, and I agree with you, but if it was called something else, then I think it essentially we can be piloting it while it goes through the process in the legislature.
Yeah.
And I think I only listened in last time. I'm not sure how far we got with, did we come close to a recommendation?
No, that's why I did this.
Okay.
Tracy had questions about how the other groups were formed, and that's what led to this research. So I threw out an idea that I was not really, it was just a starting point for conversation, for dialogue. And we started with that, but that led us to, well, we should see what other people are doing, which is why I did this. And that's why we included it on the agenda today, to kind of try to move it in more of a what we think should be. So, Mark, did you have something? I thought, okay. So,
may I?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of combine these so that you can see and sort what's an agency versus what's just a county department, so it can all be on one sheet. And then I can put a column in there for, I always like to, if I'm doing web research and I find where it comes from, I just drop the link in the spreadsheet. So can I build it out like that and then have, was that, put it back in the?
Yeah, absolutely. The only reason I split them is because the one that is state controlled or state created has to go, departments aren't going to have to go back to the state.
Yeah,
departments
so I
are,
included
yeah,
a column
yeah,
so you can kind of
yeah,
code it yes or no, and then
yeah,
that way if they're
yeah,
no,
I mean,
you're
I,
in it, that
yeah,
it's
I separated it because departments don't have a board.
Oh, right, I get it,
yeah,
but you
yeah,
can do both by just adding an extra column and then it's in one eye
yeah,
goal.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the reason I separated, I'm trying to explain the reason I separated the way I did is because we are an agency created by the state. So anything, if we want to change what's there, we have no choice but to go back to the state. Yeah.
There are, so Oneida Herkimer is kind of a hybrid model. So it's in there, but also the planning board, I believe, because when you look at their budget, which I was looking at last night for a different reason, like their county government has like $600,000
mm-hmm,
in staffing costs because they are the local management.
Mm-hmm.
LWS,
local solid management.
Yeah.
Planning unit.
Yeah.
Planning unit.
Yeah.
So there is, you'll see some of that too, and I do think if that was the case, if that was a proposal, that would have to go back to the state.
I'm trying to process that, because what I found is the ones that are actually state agencies, this is the managing board. This is, so the other part of who the board chooses to operate, I don't know if that's a
I
part.
I think it's actually the county that chooses
right.
to.
Right, that's what I mean, but that's a countywide legislation
Got
or,
it.
Yeah.
I don't want to restrict our recommendations based on us having to go back to the state. Like, yeah, we might have to go back to the state. I'm okay with that. This is a huge, ginormous problem affecting many other municipalities and counties. And we have, you know, good representation at the state, and I don't think it should be a barrier. If we want to change the number of people, if we want to change the types of people appointed, if we want to broaden it, we should not hesitate based on having to get state legislation. You're going to see other counties needing to do it, I think, over the next couple of years. So I'd like to know what everybody at this table thinks about, you know, even just seeing this and knowing what you know, I'd like to hear what other people think. I'll tell you what I think. I could be wrong, I could be changed, but my gut coming into this is I do not want to see a county department. I think 5-member board is too small. I think legislative appointments only are a mistake. I would like to see executive appointments along with legislative appointments. I might like to see the town supervisors and mayor's association make a recommended appointment. I do not want to see a bar to elected officials serving on here. I do not think that's a conflict of interest. And I think boards over 9 people are unworkable, and I think boards, you know, too small.
I'm only laughing because you just sort of summed up almost all of last week's meeting.
That was last week's meeting.
So,
Liz, when you do the minutes, make sure you get all of those.
Yeah,
that was right where we got to last week.
Yeah. Which is what led to this, because there were questions of, well, we don't have a clear concept of what other people do, and I said, okay, I'll put it together on one page.
Yeah, right.
So, Tracy.
So, yeah, that sums it up. With the caveat that the idea of not having a bar on electeds, I feel like we need to have a discussion, because I would strongly oppose a board fully made up of electeds. So
you could limit.
I feel like there needs to be a limit, but not a bar, and that's going to be like a little nuance.
Yeah.
This question, just because I'm starting to look at the list. I went on the site that you told me. This isn't an exhaustive list of the public benefits, right?
No, he only got to Washington County.
No. The public benefits.
Because I just saw Montgomery, Otsego, Schoharie.
So.
Is that?
Well, I think we're looking at a different list. I went to state.
That's
law,
what I'm on.
State legislation?
Yeah.
But you said you didn't finish.
Yeah.
Well, no, I didn't finish the departments. I was fairly confident I had finished all the ones that are enabled by legislation.
Okay.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Tracy, what I found was there are two that are no longer, that are still on the list. They've been dissolved. They no longer operate. So I didn't put them on the list because they were dissolved for various. There were two. And I think the one you mentioned was one of the ones I deleted, because it was, when I went to the county's site to look further at it, they dissolved it like 10 years ago.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So I figured, why are we looking at something that's not operational?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, the law, the enabling law is still on the books. It was never repealed.
Okay.
But they stopped utilizing the system.
Perfect.
I could go back, and it was two of them.
I think we should add them. So that anybody looking isn't like, why did they leave these out?
Okay.
Say these no longer.
I'll add them back in, and I'll just put a dissolved in there, which is what I originally did. And then I thought, well, so I apologize.
It would also be interesting to see if the dissolved had a structure that didn't work, and then we could stay away from
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and add them back in. It was easy enough to do. But I found the one.
So I'll try to also look.
Yeah.
If you're not, I don't want to duplicate, but I'll try to look for limitations in terms of requirements, whether or not electeds are limited, and any other requirements. Like I see that some have to be residents of the county, some have to be residents.
Yeah,
of
I did not. Community. Nothing jumped out at me of limitations of electeds anywhere specifically in the enabling language that
I
saw.
And you would have seen it in that same.
I would
have been in
think,
that section. That you
I would think
at.
I would have because.
Yeah.
The initial, it was the third, every one of them was the same format, and it was the third bullet point of the enabling legislation that was the set up the basis for the agency. And the first thing was, it shall include this many members, and this is who they are.
I recall when there was extensive discussion under flow control that when Cahill, not Representative Cahill, but the attorney, Cahill, that argued the first case that eventually went to the Supreme Court that dealt with flow control, when that representative came here, it was pointed out that that Ulster County was unique both in the prohibition, the specific prohibition of flow control on recyclables, and the prohibition on electeds. But I just don't know if I'm merging those in my brain. Like, it definitely requires confirmation.
Yeah.
But
so you're saying there's case law that says you can't do that?
No, I'm saying that we were alone in terms of the enabling legislation requiring. It basically implies that we asked for that prohibition.
Yeah.
And so it was put into the legislation. But we're alone in that?
I didn't dive deeper into the legislation once I got past the committee members. You know, I stopped there and went to the next one.
No, so, I'm talking about the prohibition on electeds, which is in the same, it's in the same section as committee members. I'm saying that I'm recalling that we're the only ones that had it, in the same way that we're the only ones that had prohibition on flow control.
I didn't even spot in Ulster the prohibition on electeds.
It's there.
Okay,
maybe
it's somewhere else then.
No, it's in the same paragraph.
It's in the same paragraph.
You're on it? Okay.
It's there for sure.
Okay.
I have another thought, but I lost it. I'll come back.
So, I think we were sort of all in agreement, March, last and Manna, last meeting, that 7 to 9 was the sort of optimum number. Maybe I'm wrong. We talked about other agencies that, you know, like the Onondaga has 15, and the Rockland County, we had heard 18, but it actually is 17. But Mark commented that the woman from Rockland who was filling in, and I apologize
Anna.
For her name, Anna, thank you, had said that it was a very, I don't remember the exact word you used.
That was Jim.
Oh, that was Jim.
It was kind of unwieldy, she told me.
Yeah, unwieldy, thank you. I was trying to remember the word you used. So, that being said, the majority of the others seem to be 5, 7, 10, you know. So, I think if we're going to make a recommendation, we kind of have to target what that number should be. And if we're going to make a recommendation of who it should be and how it should be formed, then we should be very specific about our recommendation, I think.
We did start this conversation before, and even before last week. And I think 9 is probably going to be necessary to get the balance. And I think if we start to identify or remind ourselves of how it would ideally work to be very inclusive of the whole county, if we start to make those identifications and 9 isn't going to work, we'll know that. But if some have 15 and right now there's 5, it seems like if we could get away with 7, but I think if it's really going to be inclusive,
I find it interesting. The one that has 15 has 6 appointments from the city of Syracuse, which is, almost half the board right there alone. Now, I don't know, the city of Syracuse is a fairly large city, so is that half the county? Maybe. I don't know.
They probably do at least half the garbage,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, probably. So in that case, I mean, there, in that particular one, the county executive gets 4 appointments, the chair of the legislature gets 3, the mayor gets six. And interestingly enough, this started out much smaller, and then it was after a period of time, they got four, they got additional appointments. The initial board was much smaller. And then they've included wherever, you know, whatever municipality the landfill and the resource recovery agency are located, which actually I had never thought about that till I saw that, and where whatever municipality that's located in, having that a representative of that community, whether it be a, their legislative board or even a citizen, is probably a good idea. Yeah.
Can I pick up on the, what you suggested last week with seven as the starting
point? Yeah, yeah.
Last week you suggested three from the legislature, two from the executive's office, one from the town supervisor's office, and then one where we went around and we didn't know quite what to
right.
do. And now I like the idea perhaps of a host community, if by the time we're done with this, we have a host community. And then I remember Tracy saying that the minority-majority split in the legislature was a nightmare, so we should get rid of that and just go with three legislative appointees. And that's my memory of how far we got. And then we thought about
yeah, that is exactly. And I was going to pull us back to that.
Right.
Yeah.
So and now we're talking nine. So maybe we have a few more to add. But that's I seem to remember where that's where
Jim,
we got.
Jim, could you just say that again quickly?
Sure. And it was Mike's idea, and then we kind of tweaked it. Three from the legislature, and without the minority majority split, that just three overall from the legislature. Two from the executive's office, one from the town supervisors, and then one that we did not come, you know, have a, an origin yeah. for that appointment.
Originally, Matt and I had suggested the three from the legislature being one from the minority, one from the majority, and one from the chair. And then Tracy brought up that the whole minority-majority, given the length of terms, could potentially shift, and it's a very valid point. So we sort of pulled it back to just say three from the legislature. That requires legislature confirmation.
And right now the legislature has five, so
correct.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
The chair has five.
What is that?
The chair has five.
Chair has
five.
Chair. Still has to be approved.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
But it's the
yeah.
chair's
the executive, I think the city should have one. So
well,
I don't think it should just be, I think there should be one from the Supervisors Association, but I think the mayor should have an appointment because of the amount of waste, and that's starting to move us toward nine.
Yeah, well, I had suggested that possibly as the seventh, and then we sort of, the seventh was in flux, so, yeah. But it was just a foray to start a conversation. I was not saying this is the answer. I just wanted to, you know, be clear about that. So
I want to keep in mind sort of the legitimacy and acceptance in the community broadly of what we come out with in this report. And if we cut the minority appointment to this board, given the minority leader in the legislature right now and what happened with the Plattekill report, that is going to put Legislator Roberts in opposition to our findings here. And it may be awkward to deal with what happens when the legislature changes and the terms, but I just want to raise that right now. Like, I do not want to be in a setup to have an opposition immediately from the Plattekill legislator because of what's happened in the past.
Mark, one suggestion I made, and it's not preferable, is that the term be 2 years, and that so every 2 years when there's essentially a new legislature, now people
but
could be reappointed. I realized the cons against it, but that I'm pointing out that was my solution to the majority-minority thing, is to make the term follow the same term as the legislature, and you know, as an idea. I'm not thrilled with it either, but I'm just saying it's one solution. Tracy.
Okay. For me, that
total turnover every 2 years is like a non-starter. Yeah.
Well, just be clear. I'm not saying total turnover. I'm just saying a reappointment every 2 years.
But that could be the same. That could be a total turnover.
It could be.
It's like it's that to me is there's no sustainability in it. There's no way that an agency could function knowing that every 2 years the presiding officers could just fall by the wayside with no. I mean, there's a far cry from continuity, you know, and this continuity as being the overarching design, which is sometimes what previous board members advocated against, you know, just every 2 years. Sure. You know, I will just like hazard guess that we're the only, you know, we're the only county that has this minority.
We are
appointment.
We are.
It's preposterous. And the idea, and this isn't about not legitimizing the minority. This is about actually looking at what's happened in practice over years in a very unconventional circumstance. Like, nobody else puts in a minority appointment. We've fought over the minority appointment, both sides, when, you know, when I was in the minority and when I was in with the majority, both. It's been an argument forever. It's impossible to track because now you have a minority recommended an appointment and the person's no longer a minority. Like now the minority that recommended that appointment is sitting in the majority, but that person's still in the minority seat.
Actually, I take that back. Rockland has three from the minority.
But the minority's saying, oh no, that's not our seat anymore because that was when we were in the minority. It creates this like totally unworkable situation. And the idea that we're going to, you raise a valid point, but the idea that we're going to now cater our best recommendation, the most workable recommendation toward a personality is just not the way to legislate. I mean, I think we need to dig into this further. It's not gonna get solved right now in the next, you know, whatever hour, but whatever half hour, but I think we have to. I mean, I think we have to have a real conversation about it. And I personally have come a kind of full circle. I have been an absolute advocate for the minority, whether I was in the majority or the minority, the whole time in the legislature. And in Ulster County, we have given, I mean, above and beyond, like the especially in under Democratic leadership, the outreach to minority contribution and minority presence at the table has been, like I said, above and beyond. This is a public benefit corp. This is not meant to be driven by politics, right? It's a public benefit corp. Where it's not supposed to be that five members, you know, of a 23-member board get a seat at the table. I mean, I also just want to say, like, your host community idea, just because that was something I wanted to get. It's critical. When we get to the place of having, well, we can't write it. There's no way. We need this change before there's going to be a host community. At the point
you can write one as a host committee.
At the point there's a host community, that host community, because it's forever the host community, absolutely has a seat.
You could write one that's a host community if such exists or something like that.
Well, we make the recommendation. We don't write that in the legislation.
No, you would. You would. You would create that position if it exists. If it doesn't exist,
you can create a position.
No, no. Within the state enabling legislation,
I don't think you can create a fantasy in a state legislation saying if such and such happens, then
you can actually, because really? Yeah, because that's how some of these are set up.
Well, but they have landfills.
But they have, yeah, they have a landfill already.
Like the
it's
town,
you can write a legislation saying if something.
So
happens.
Yeah, but. If you go back and read the legislation, it would make more sense.
Okay.
There are some of these, you know, like the one maximum.
We will have the time. If we're in the process of siting, we'll have years of siting work.
I'm agreeing with you because, like, I'm trying to use the example of the maximum 17, minimum 6 there were criteria of when it jumps up and when it jumps down. So that's what I'm saying. The enabling legislation, and this is just an example, it could be seven people, and if these facilities existed, then it's nine, and those people are on it.
I feel very uncomfortable with that. Like, kind of, I think we got to keep things simple
in terms of. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm not advocating for or against it. I'm just saying it can be done, and it if they don't exist, then those seats aren't filled. I mean, the seats don't
exist. Which county are you looking at?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm sorry, Tracy. I looked at a lot of different ones, so. Yeah, Jim.
I just want to elaborate on, or not elaborate, endorse Tracy's point that if the whole idea is to keep politics out of this, then the minority-majority thing, you know, and sure, he's going to argue, but we argue back. Like, look, this is why we're doing it. We have a perfectly good reason. So I understand your point. Believe me, I do.
I would prefer a comment back saying we were going to outreach to him directly and explain prior to releasing his
report.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sorry. I thought that was part of, you know, like, but yes, exactly, because you made a good point. But I just assume, of course, we're going to do that.
Yes, but it's the same. I mean, Tracy made the point of historically, the chairs of the legislature have considered the majority, and nothing is set in stone. It's just the way, it's the courtesy that's always been extended. I mean,
No. It's in that you have to.
It's in the enabling.
No, I know that. I know that. But I'm talking about in other, we talked about other.
Oh, in other. Yeah, yeah.
Because one of the things we got caught up on was confirmation. And Tracy brought up the point that the legislature usually has confirmed the executive's appointments with only a couple notable exceptions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's one way around that is that you make the appointments without the requirement of confirmation. Because ultimately, my point was that I tried to make is that as soon as you add the confirmation, it gives the legislature essentially veto power. Now, the one is interesting. The Dutchess County has three appointments from the county legislature, but the executive cannot veto those. They have no veto power over those three particular people. That's in the enabling legislation. So it can't become a county executive legislature battle where the executive vetoes the law. You know, and that's specifically put in there.
Well, that's in our charter. The exec can't veto our
appointments.
But the leg could veto the executive by not confirming.
Lauren
had her hand up for a while, and
I'm sorry. I missed that. Thank you, Mana.
Yeah, I think my feeling is, especially in the spirit of moving forward, because I'm concerned about not getting this document written at all, and I'm looking at resolution that was put in last year to increase the size of the agency board to 9, and you know there are mentions of minority appointments in here. Could we just agree to say we feel 9 is a good number with varying scenarios and then move forward, because we're not, again, this is a report with recommendations,
right,
on, I think more specifically the contractual part of it, but, and let the legislature hash this out and perhaps recommend.
Can I respond
that this
to that
particular
first,
resolution get sent back to the EES board?
I
have a suggestion that might work within the 9, and that is it's tricky to figure out how to word it, but it's really, the problem is with minority majority is that changes, but the caucuses don't change. And you can't really say Republican and Democrat, but you can refer to caucuses. And that way we're addressing and giving power or influence to whoever is the majority and the minority, and I would say majority, minority, and and chair. And that those can be the three for the legislature. We have two, the mayor, the supervisors, and I'm just trying
to... What if there's a third caucus, though? Don't you have three now?
Has there ever been?
There is right now, apparently.
There was the pizza party.
It can happen. It can happen. I mean, you know...
John,
Tracy was a non-enrolled, but she chose to caucus with the Democrats. But not every person is going to be elected as a Republican or a Democrat, and that's, you know.
Well, how close are we to nine if we say three for the legislature, two for the exec? We may need more than nine because I absolutely think Kingston should be included.
Well, that's six.
And
the supervisors are seven.
The town supervisors should be included.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be a host.
So now you're at eight. So you could increase one more by one, either, you know, you could give the county executive the equal to the legislature. You could do, this is just a suggestion. Three legislature, three executive, one supervisors association, one city of Kingston, and one host, and that gives you nine. But Tracy?
Okay, so let me just, several thoughts. I am resistant to city of Kingston. Town of Saugerties is very close in size to city of Kingston. I think we pit communities against one another. I get that it's a city, but it's a member of the Supervisors Association, and I feel like we're headed for difficulty. I have concern about, I completely, as I stated, support and think it's required that we have a host community. I have concern about putting a host community in as one of the seven or nine when we know we're going to have years of this board actually facilitating its work prior to the siting of a landfill, and there won't be a host community yet.
But that could be handled by simply...
But then we'll have an even number until that point.
We could let legislative...
A mechanism to appoint to that until a landfill is sited, and then it would
I would want
that confirmed, that we could basically ask the state to enable something on a what if.
Well, except bear in mind, what we're doing is we're making a suggestion, and obviously the legislature will have to vet it. A possible solution is the Supervisor Association could appoint two, and one must be the host community if such exists, and that absolutely would meet the criteria. Mark, did you?
Yeah, I two things. On the host community, I don't think it's going to be as long as people think, because I think we're going to identify a potential landfill site within the next year or so. Otherwise, it's going to be the permitting is the time that it takes. I think we'll be able to get through the consulting process and identify a site and identify a potential host facility, and maybe it actually makes sense to bring them on board while that planning stage is in effect, not just when poof, a landfill shows up. So the other piece on the city of Kingston, it would be interesting to see what the relationship of each city, like in Onondaga, is with Syracuse, because it's not just about the size of the city of Kingston. They are one of our major customers because they have municipal hauling. So it's almost like bringing a hauler on board in many ways. Like, I mean, we have a great relationship with the city, but we establish things that directly affect them in a way that, I don't know. So I guess that can go both ways, whether it's a positive or a negative. It just almost feels to me a little conflicting.
I just want to also note that I think Town of Ulster currently feels like a host community. without a lot of the
benefits.
Well,
and
they don't even get benefits.
They do get benefits.
They do get benefits. All right. Well, they feel like a host community right now, and I think, you know, if we're talking about identifying City of Kingston over them, I just feel that that would be negatively received.
Well, and that's why with my suggestion is two from the supervisors, so one could be a generalized one, and because...
Yeah, and one the host.
The question is, if a landfill is created, you know, we don't know what the future will bring for where the UCRA is operating. Will they continue to operate in the town of Ulster? I mean, I'm throwing out hypotheticals. We don't know because nobody knows right now. And you know, it could be changing, but... to create buckets of what age, what groups are represented, and then the defining of how that works, it can be somewhat secondary. Yeah, I only point out because almost all, well, I shouldn't say almost all these, some of these have cities, but they are indeed much larger cities than City of Kingston. City of Kingston is a relatively small city in the big scheme of things,
but a very large user.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, like, and I've said it before, they were number one, Saugerties was number two, and Rochester was number three. And you know, people wouldn't think of Rochester as being that, but it's because it's such a rural area that we have a lot of people who use the transfer station system. So. But Mark points out that's 10% of the total waste. I mean, how many City of Kingston?
Well, they come in as a hauler.
Right, and that's
that's a different.
But that's where I was trying to head is they really are a hauler, because are there private haulers also operating within the City of Kingston?
Only commercial.
Only commercial,
so
not a residential.
It's the city.
So
the
all
city
residential is picked up by the city.
And with flow control, they have to come to us. So that's where it's like a weird... I have no idea if the city of Syracuse has municipal, and they have to take it.
I don't know. Could do a really deep dive into the conditions of each of these. This is just a very overarching pass at how the boards are made up. I didn't look into all the details of every little thing. So,
so can perhaps we summarize... because it's a quarter of, and we want to at least come out of here with some progress. We appear to be thinking about a 9-member board. Is that safe to say? That at least we can say a 9-member board. We have some idea of how we want to do the appointees, but maybe we could all think about it, and because this none here is final right now, but maybe a 9-member board and start, you know, because there's information it seems like we need to gather, whether, for example, we're allowed to appoint electeds, which it looks like we are, but maybe not, you know, because and we have a rough idea, the minority thing, minority majority. Can we consider that settled, or do we want to discuss that some more? I mean,
that probably needs more discussion.
Yeah. Laura, can I just? Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Were you done? I just wanted to respond to one thing you said. I think unless the legislation specifically says electeds can't be appointed, they can be. I believe.
But it does say
so that would be a change.
No, in ours, yes, it does. But if
in our recommendation,
in our recommendation for the change to the state legislature, so the question is whether we remove that from our current.
And then, do we remove the minority majority proviso?
Well, I think we would be suggesting a
replacement. Is there consensus on removing the bar on electeds? Is everybody at the table in support of removing the bar? Right now, there is a bar on elected officials serving on the upper board. Is everybody here in agreement on that?
I would be, can we just go around the room? I would be in favor of it as long as the board didn't become entirely electeds.
Mm-hmm.
I
agree.
I agree, and I like the idea of a cap of, you know, no more than a certain percentage.
Yeah.
I would like to see the initial five stay as lay people who have a background, and that the new appointments could potentially be electeds. I'm okay with that. But, you know, again, I'm concerned about having a full board of elected people.
Yeah, that's my concern, too. I mean, I definitely would entertain the idea, but I think we need to think about what the limit is, because you can't simply say, you can't simply say that it's not the full board or pick a number, mm-hmm. because then whoever has the first appointments could take all the elected spots. For example,
you'd have to do it by category.
Yeah, the ledge could take them. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, yeah. So we need to have that conversation about how we limit if we do.
Jim, your thoughts on it? Elected?
On balance, I think it's probably a good idea because it could perhaps prevent some of the posturing that we've seen in the past.
Can I just add one other quick thought?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we're talking about electeds, but right now there's no prohibition on, in Ulster County, there's a prohibition on elected officials of any sort. You probably couldn't be on a, fire board and serve on the RRA. But there's no prohibition on employees. And that's something to think about, particularly as it relates to the executive offices, because the executive, if we're not specific, the executive then could make their appointments all deputy county executives, which are extensions of the elected office.
There are some prohibitions on public officials, and I can speak to this because I initially, the first census, the reapportionment back in 2010, I applied for, and by being a member of the county planning board, that made me a public official. And
that's
I was
our charter.
Yeah, but I was specifically excluded from that commission.
But
because
that's our
of
charter.
That. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, currently, the enabling legislation not only does it allow for employees, municipal and otherwise, it protects employees and says that they cannot lose their job by virtue of being seated on the RRA board. So I'm just saying, right now, they're all legislative appointments. That changes when some of them become executive appointments. And therefore, we really actually, I mean, the idea of the legislature has direct oversight over very few employees in the county. They're all sitting right over there. So, you know, I think we need to actually be cognizant.
Right, and that would
that.
Be, need to be part of our recommendation. I think we need to be very specific in our recommendation as to how it's set up. And then the legislature can then do what they want or don't want with it. We're making a recommendation. So, Amanda, let me just get to you on your thoughts.
It's similar to the balance, that what happens when those elected officials, how many you have on the board once you start having that. Mm-hmm. Rockland County is all elected officials, so it kind of, everyone's in the room. So just thinking, that would be my flags. That's what Anna had given.
Well, the two from the county executive are not,
sure.
But yeah.
Everyone else is. Every town is represented.
I think one way to deal with this, obviously, if we're going to include two from the Supervisor Association, those very likely might be electeds. You could limit it and say
why would both be electeds?
Well, because if there's one from the host community and one from the organization itself.
But I'm saying if we're limiting the other ones to how many electeds, we'd also have to think about limiting the supervisors to how many electeds.
Yeah.
But it's the association's appointment.
But I think we're getting, you know, way over here before we even got to figure out who we're talking about, you know.
But that is a question, is the supervisors associate, each of the appointers, are they appointing their colleagues, or are they appointing, as has happened in the past, essentially citizens, and that may need to be defined.
Yeah, well, that was my, where I was, and I didn't say it very well. The legislature traditionally has, I mean, not traditionally, by the law, they were appointing citizens. The Supervisors Association probably doesn't have the same pool to sort of choose from. I mean, I'm just assuming that those two would be electeds because they're already in the minority and of that whole group when it's 2 of 9. So I'm just, you know, from the legislature point, I'm not saying this very well, I'm sorry. From the legislature standpoint, if you said one can be a seated legislator or two or whatever, the county executive, unless the county executive themselves are on that committee, there's not another
they could appoint a legislator, they could appoint a town board member. I think we should say each category, no more than one shall be an elected official or reporting to an elected official.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Something like that.
I need to think about the exec appointing elected officials. That's kind of...
Yeah, I'm just thinking that the host, if you do include the host community one, that person should be able to be an elected official, I think, in that, if we do decide to include that. Yeah, Tracy, we're coming down.
I mean,
to
the point, again, yeah, again, we are probably hashing out something that the legislature is going to change, but depends on how solid we get it. I mean, I think that the at the point that we actually, channeling Mark's optimism, that we actually have we're citing a landfill for. Small landfill for residual waste. At that point, I'm not even sure you need two supervisors. At that point, you really need the host supervisor. So it's like, it's like that's why I'm saying it's a sort of a transitional space.
I would disagree on that because you still have the transfer stations.
Stations?
Yeah,
you'll still have to have the transfer stations.
Because otherwise, this is where you get into like the permitting process. If I have a transfer station, then I'm talking about 15 trucks going to wherever the landfill is. That's very minimal impact on the roadways. If I just open up a countywide landfill and say haulers go, you're talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of trucks a day. And so you would,
still have to have a transfer station.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Can I just make one quick comment?
Yeah.
Because the current legislation says there has to be geographical representation, and that's not a problem with the 5 legislative appointments. I think. One thing that other boards, when I was in the executive's office, that when you have all these other appointing bodies, you almost need to say, if there's going to be anything with geographical, you have to say within each appointer, there has
Agreed.
To be geographical.
I think one of the things, though, is we need to stop sort of getting, we're sort of starting with a blank canvas. We can make it whatever we want it to be. Now, certainly we can look at the existing and say, I don't think we have to worry about, we're going to be replacing the existing. So we can write it however we think it needs to be. And obviously the points that are in the current that we want to keep, we want to keep. But anything we don't want to keep, we just don't include it in the recommendation.
And following on that exactly, again, since I hold Oneida Herkimer in high regard, both for succeeding where we failed and for, modeling an exemplary system, it's pretty simple. They don't put in all those limitations. There's no majority minority. They do exactly what you laid out here, which is like a certain, and it's basically based on population, a certain amount from the Oneida legislature, a certain amount from the Oneida exec, and a certain amount from the Herkimer legislature. Full stop. Like, we can substitute supervisors for Herkimer legislature. That's it. Done. Simple. Like, get rid of what you're talking about, Mark. Get rid of the minority. Get rid of all this, like, stuff.
I'm not clear on what you're saying the three are.
If you look at this,
would extrapolate the three to Ulster County.
Read it. It's too small.
Oh, okay.
Manna. What I would is, in Oneida, it's 4 from the Oneida legislature, 3 from the Oneida executive, and 3 from the Herkimer legislature. No,
from the
Herkimer. So
okay.
3 from the Herkimer legislature.
Got it.
No confirmation required on any of them.
Right.
If you were to keep that simple and extrapolate it to Ulster County, it would be whatever. I mean, 4 from the, I don't know, the, whatever. It would be 4 from the legislature, Ulster County legislature, 3 from the Ulster County executive, 2 from the Supervisors Association, 1 being required to be a host community, if there's a host community. That's it.
So you're saying 4-3-2.
The end.
Good.
I would be absolutely, and with no confirmation. Just
no confirmation.
Those are the appointments.
No other stuff.
They all have to get confirmed, no?
No.
No confirmation.
Differently.
Oneida Herkimer has no confirmation.
And I just tweet. that a little bit. Because you're recommending a not a complete change, but like
It is a complete change.
The board is going, but I just mean in composition. It doesn't have to be complete, right? The three or four appointments, but why? I don't know that I would give the town supervisors more than one appointment. I think I would stick with five legislative appointments, three executive appointments, and one town board, because you're like, you have a board right now that's working well together and cohesive.
By only
giving four legislative appointments, you're either
somebody out.
You're kicking somebody.
So I have an answer to that that I think would work. If you make you give the legislature the five, but if there is an identified host community, that the legislature must appoint that host community person as the fifth.
Or if there becomes a host community, go to a 10-member board and anything.
I don't think you can
six votes on. Like I, you know,
No. I think the easier way is to give that host community position to the what I'm suggesting based on what you said, to the legislature until such time as a host community exists, and then it's an appointment by the legislature, but the criteria for that appointment lies to the legislature.
I would go a step further and say three have to be community members and two can be legislators, in other words, if we're giving them five until there's a host community, which could be soon, we don't want to put five legislators on there.
No, I would agree that the majority shouldn't be legislators themselves. You could say, five and no more than shall be elected officials.
Or specify that three should be community members.
Let me get Tracy's, Jim, and then, because we're at 11. So.
So for me now, I'm down to either my first proposal, which is the 4-3-2, or the 5-3-1. I would say for the exec, no elected officials, and no, but I could be swayed. But my instinct is no elected officials, no staff. For the ledge, a limit on how many elected officials, and I'm open to one or two. And my caveat is that if it is the 4-3-2, I know it's a minority, but I don't love the potential of two elected officials from the supervisors, particularly depending if what the threshold you would give the ledge for elected officials.
I just think the host community has a different perspective than the rest of the supervisors. And that's why in my opinion, each one could be the elected official, because the host community is going to have a whole different
overall. I agree in terms of the host community, but this is the challenge back to, which isn't why Mark was saying it, but the legislature ultimately has the responsibility for the financial, which is why there would be, from my perspective, an argument for the majority. But the counter argument is what Mark sort of touched on with Kingston. You know, the relationship, the towns all, like we're trying to get the stakeholders to the table by having the supervisors at the table. Mm-hmm. And yet the supervisors, no disrespect, have very, their worlds are like worlds contained within the world of the county. Like when you advocate, you're advocating for your town, not you, but you as supervisor, you're advocating for your town, not for the county as a whole. And that's what I've seen regularly with supervisors coming to the legislature in opposition to something. It's how's it going to affect my town? This is about a county-wide view. And towns are going to be in specific contract with the agency in each and every case. So having a seat at the table, I think, is critical, but having a disproportionate seat at the table, bringing that sort of more micro view, which is a critically important view,
yeah.
But I just think it's something we really we really have to think about.
I'm going to push back a little bit on that, though, because I don't think the Supervisors Association representatives, I know when I was on committees, I was advocating not just for the town of Rochester. I use it as examples often because I had familiarity, but I certainly was advocating for all the communities. And legislators are elected to represent a specific district, and how often have we heard legislators talk about, you know, their district? So to me, it's no different.
I'm going to push back on you.
Yeah.
I mean, and not to be rude, and this is something I've actually said as a legislator, you know, our role as legislators actually isn't to represent our districts very specifically. If you look at the bulk, if you look at the bulk of the county budget, item by item by item by item by item, they're countywide programs. They're not specific to Gardner,
agreed,
New Paltz,
agreed,
Saugerties. They're countywide programs. It's something that's very hard for legislators to accept because we're not actually representing,
right,
our, you know, there are ways in which we bring our districts to the table, but the function of our job is actually, I mean, the vast majority of our function, administering social programs that sometimes don't even touch our districts, barely at all. So that's the first thing. And the second example I'll give is when we talked about the main reason that we didn't push back on flow control of regulated recyclables, despite the fact that we felt overwhelmingly, and Man and I sat at tables disappointed about the flow control discussion because we weren't talking about a whole system, is because supervisors came to the table fiercely advocating, fiercely opposing any discussion of flow control of regulated recyclables because of scrap metal and because of the money that they were getting back on can returns, two things that were not regulated recyclables. And the matter of fact is that was about a micro line in town budgets,
mm-hmm,
not about a whole system. The whole system was thrown the whole system was like, didn't matter because it was about a micro line in a budget. So I think that, I just think we have to have a real conversation about how we, you know, how we recommend the makeup of this, because I do think it's going to be.
But I think you're using an example that is really archaic. No supervisor now is as locked into as they were back then about scrap metal. I mean,
because it's not worth as much. That's why. If it were worth,
even when it was worth a lot, it was like you said, it's such a small line item in the budget. But we can disagree. I think the idea that supervisors are only going to fight for their town, if we're going to go with that assumption, then we shouldn't even bother putting any of them on.
I think you oversimplified my statement.
Well, I don't see it that way at all. I actually think you guys are almost on the same page. I think what I want to say is, what about 531? I'm going back to what Mark was saying, and that is, we have, for the first time in maybe a decade or more, a functional board at the Resource Recovery Agency, legislatively appointed. It's five members. I'd like to keep those people, and when those positions become, when those terms are up, those people could be considered. 531, one Supervisors Association appointment, but the five, should there be a host community, one of the five must represent. It does not have to be a town supervisor. I don't know why people think it has to be a town supervisor. You may have somebody, for example, like a Roy Budnick you have in town of Ulster,
right,
who's a really intelligent, brilliant person, who's not the town supervisor.
Right.
You may want to select somebody who is knowledgeable about solid waste. So I just think that we may have different feelings about the priorities of town supervisors, and I think it changes over time. But I think we should focus on what Mark is talking about keeping. We have something that's working. Please don't throw it away. Could we go 531 with should a town become a host community, that appointment be, you know,
one,
or at least one of the legislative.
Well, but then we go back to the elected officials question. I mean, the same as you point out, there's nothing to stop it from being a town supervisor either, or there shouldn't be. you know, sometimes.
Right. I think you could say one of each appointment, you know, no more than one of each of these bodies' appointments shall be an elected official, or two for the legislature. You set a limit within their
discretionary
power.
I'm okay with that.
Mr.
Chairman. Yeah.
Please don't make a legislative appointment mandatory. You know, like have a legislator mandatory.
Maybe.
If, because, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be mandated. It could be, but it doesn't have to be, because right now none of us are, and my term is up in December. So if you have to put a legislator on it, then I have to live, you know, because the other people's terms are not up. So, you know, we need a lot of flexibility in this to make it work.
Yeah.
But I agree with the idea of 5-3-1. I think that is, it cuts the Gordian knot pretty nicely.
More
than one elected official from each of us.
Yeah.
Including the executive?
Yes, including the executive.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Don't assume that a legislative appointment of an elected official would be a legislator. It could be...
Right.
But we're opening up to the fact that legislators could be allowed.
The question, though, is from the executive, is it just an elected official or an elected official and or their deputies? Because, I feel a little differently than Tracy. I think some staff, you know, could be on... It could be a staff of the planning department. I mean, I'm just throwing out an example. It could
department
be a staff member of the Department of Environment to say no staff, I think, is too limiting. I agree that it shouldn't be, or that, you know, the county executive or the deputies, then, but to say no staff, I think, is way too limiting. Tracy, did you have a...
I'm just wondering...
Rolling in UCDA again.
How it plays out in terms of, I was thinking of UCDA too.
Can you elaborate a little bit? I'm sorry.
So the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance at one time was entirely appointed by the county executive, and in County Executive Hines' administration, it was fully appointed staff that reported to the county executive. There was a negotiated agreement to allow legislature to make two appointments, but it works in a certain way when it is 100%. But of course, that body was 100%, and the executive's not going to have the majority here. The executive could appoint themselves and two deputies and still not control this board. So
correct.
I don't think it's as big of an issue, is it?
But
there's
if
a sole member who was the county executive for UCDA.
Right.
Yeah. But if you follow that, you could, and again, this isn't about this particular exec or this particular legislature or this particular supervisors association, but you could have, you know. You could have the exec and two deputies, two legislators, and a supervisor. That's a, you know what I mean? That's a fighting majority of the board that is not going to necessarily agree, potentially, depending on whatever the politics are.
So what if from each body you said, you know, no more than one, and maybe two with the legislature, because they're going to have five appointments, say no more than two shall be elected officials or staff.
Reporting to the body.
I mean, it just.
Yeah, I feel like we're not going to solve it today.
No, we're not.
But we've got 5-3-1, right?
And the fact that we're that far into the over here,
we've made a lot of progress.
Can we all agree on the 9, the 5-3-1?
Yeah. I think so too. I
believe.
Yeah. Before we leave, we already tabled the minutes. So,
what's our next meeting? Is next week?
So our next meeting is next Thursday, 9:30. What I'd ask everybody to do is, if you could,
five legislative appointments or five legislators?
Legislative appointments
that aren't legislators.
No more than two.
No more than two be a legislator. Yeah. And we also would say that one of those would be from the host community, should it... Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to write the recommendation, but, if you can come next week with a look at June for meetings, I think we need to continue, obviously, the weekly meetings for the rest of June, because 5 meetings from now, we should be done with a report.
We will be.
Yeah.
In June, I'm going to be, I'm definitely going to have some conflicts, just to give a heads up. I have to I have to go on a school trip that I won't be able to Zoom in, but then I'll be out of town for probably two meetings that I would like to Zoom in. So I'm just giving the heads up that if we can notice it properly, and I'll give you the address.
I don't know that we can do that.
Yeah, we can.
I'm going to let you guys work that out.
It
doesn't matter to me either way.
We're too close to the end for
yeah, no,
miss
no.
that many meetings. I won't be in state
yeah,
for two.
Yeah. It doesn't... However it needs to be noticed, if
it
you can work it out with the legislative clerk to make sure it's properly noticed,
okay.
That would be great. Because I don't have a problem with that, but it just... I don't know, because the law, I just looked it up, the law that allowed, the open meetings law change actually sunsets.
Oh, when did it start?
July 1, so we're still okay
so
in that.
A little time,
it
so.
Does sunset on July 1, but
okay.
I'm not going to try to, you know, whatever you guys can work out, it doesn't matter to me.
Are we still thinking Thursday mornings at 9:30? Does that still work for everybody? So we can tentatively...
Yeah, I was still, well, what I was basically trying to do is next week we will set these, and we'll basically have everybody look at their calendar and come back with any conflicts, because I'd like to just try to lock it in and be done
okay.
with it. So
yeah, that's a good idea.
Essentially, that gives us five more meetings to be done with the report. And
the 13th of June, I will not be available.
Well, if we have to move one, like we've moved to Fridays or whatever, it just and I need to be a little more aware of it, because starting next Tuesday, I now have a day job, but I'm going to be have flexibility to take time off.
I'm good
to be
with
here.
Thursdays except July 4th.
Oh yeah, obviously July 4th we should not do.
Unless you guys want to.
Well, no, we're going to be done. We have to be done by the 4th is the additional month, so we have to be done with our report by the 4th.
I'm going to send to Ms. Vett the updated spreadsheet, and I was wondering if she could put that back in the folder for
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
If it can be made editable on the SharePoint. Would that be good for people?
I left it in Excel format. I think it's all editable.
There's some weird thing with Excel and multi-users on SharePoint that's very hard to do.
Oh.
But people could pull it down and edit it. And then
yeah.
we also get Mana's amendments
to
the report on Google Drive.
How do they get incorporated?
She emailed them last night, so
yeah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
But
okay.
did you say that there is...
Yeah, do I have a motion to adjourn so we can...
Yeah,
thank
motion
you.
To adjourn.
Thank you.
Is there a
second?
Like,
second.
Second. Are we all going to be working on the same document? Or are we going to...
Maybe we can put just
have
a document
to incorporate
in
changes
docs.
From...
Well, that's what... Let me try to... I'll work with Liz to see... Because it's I left it in Word format.
Yeah.
And I think within Word format... Anybody can download it, make edits, and then reload, you know, send it back, and you're